It's me, O Allah, the Lord is the most perfect call of this prayer that we offer. Please show O Muhammad the meaning of greatness. Please elevate Muhammad to the most exalted place where God promised him. God never breaks that promise. O Allah, you are God and we're your servant. We know he can be and have been unjust to ourselves. We confess our faults. We grant and protect us all our faults. For none can grant protection against thee, fall for thee. O Allah, guide us to the best tomorrow. For none can lead and turn us to the best tomorrow thee. I mean, so we're here on the Rock Talk radio station, coming out of California, under the guidance of Amin Muhammad, sponsored by Sister Claire Muhammad, STEM School. We hope the STEM School come all over the world, because it's badly needed. In STEM school, they're going to help us be more productive, especially our youth. So we thank Allah for this opportunity to come before you again, this Rock Talk radio station, talking about the message of concern about the world and the message in the world that keep people going against themselves on colors and economics and zip codes and everything here. So we here tonight to get rid of and talk about a problem that was created by Satan himself, putting people against each other by skin color, putting people against each other, using religion to do it, to get into religion, to really destroy the meaning of what it should be as human beings. And this is what Allah faith created us, human beings. Then he named us Muslim. And then he allowed us to name ourselves Christians and Jews. But we are human beings. And human beings are supposed to love each other. And why we don't love each other? Because lies, weak ideas, the wrong thinking have entered our mind, have entered, affected our hearts where we can't be normal and gracious people. So we had to get rid of these things. And the only thing left to get rid of these things is Al-Quran, the first and the final revelation. If the revelation was before us, it was pure and hadn't been corrupted, then he could do it. But no, they corrupt the revelation. They corrupt the religion. And now we're living in the revelation, and we can, and all around us, is a sign of the revelation is being portrayed. Because everything the revelation says is going to happen, it's happening in America, happening all over the world. So we're living in the final days of corruption, not the final days of good people, not the final days of righteous people. But the foundation of corrupt people, no matter who they are, where they are, or what they call themselves, this is their final. This is their final hours. They have hours and hours or so to get themselves together. If they fail to do that, they have already been destroyed. You can't do wrong and continue to do wrong and get good up on this earth. That time been over with. Those people who done wrong and Allah had proved them that he was going to do what he said he was going to do. I mean, those people in hell, some people burning. And some people don't care if they burn. Some people don't believe there's a hellfire. They believe that whatever this world tell them to believe. But when you ask them, do they believe in the life after death? If they believe in that life after death, they'll be correcting their life. They wouldn't be listening to these lying preachers. They wouldn't be listening to these lying people talking about God came in their image. God came traveling, got there, and seeing the condition. God didn't, and that's really the embarrassment to say God came to see their condition and then did nothing about their condition that we both do ourselves. And I'll say he would never change our condition until we change what's in our hearts. So that is a fact. We must change this cold heart. So we here tonight on the Block Talk radio station. We're a little late tonight helping somebody, trying to get here, got here. And they finally got the equipment working. Praise be to Allah. Now we are here speaking on this solution to the problem of the human family. And that's to remove all image. That's what separates the human family. Lies. One better than the other. Coming from a lie that God came in one image. Told you he never came in any image. And told you not to worship images. And they did it anyway. He promoted it anyway. And they gave that idea to us. So all praise are due to Allah. The Lord, care, sustainer of all the world. So we are tonight, and anybody who know this show, all they got to do is match one and come into the queue. And once you come into the queue, you can start sharing information that you understand, because nobody knows everything. Allah made it like that. Allah made all of us to know some of his world that we live in and know the part that fit this world and make this world better. So we all got a piece of that. So all praise are due to Allah, Lord and cherished state of all the world. And we only remember when it's that Prophet Muhammad, him and our Allah is the seer of the prophets. That means there's no more prophet to come. He locked the door. He was a founder warning to humanity. And that's why humanity have kept the evil humanity, the corrupt humanity, have kept this man away from the masses of people, because they do not want the people to be saved. They do not want the people looking at the real savior or the real one who real about the information that will save us. They don't want you to see this man, and they have kept him out of the university, high school, and colleges and all the other places where Prophet Muhammad's name should be called, so people can have some salvation. They kept that away from the masses of people. So we are here to explain why they done that. Who can tell that better than the one who's been under the influence of being under the other people all these lives, been under their rule and their lies. Okay, we got Brother Mean Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Hameen.
Hey, assalamu alaikum.
Like I said,
okay, so you can hear me. All praise be to Allah.
Yes.
Allahu Akbar.
Praise be.
Yeah, all praise be to Allah. All praise be to Allah. You know, I was thinking about Almighty God, the Almighty God, the one God this morning, because early this morning, we had a graduation at UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles, for my daughter, my baby, Leah Williams Muhammad, and she got her, she marched across the stage at UCLA, and she have her BA degree in psychology. And so I was there, and her mother was there, and family was there. And they were saying, well, I mean, you sure did a good job. But I said, it was a group. Hey, yeah, I got a card, yeah. Yeah, yeah. All praises be to Allah, because many a day that I was like a single father, you know what I mean, taking her to school. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Taking her to school. I was calling on her a lot. Many a day. Calling on her a lot. You know,
baby. Hold on one second.
I'll be with you. Yeah. Oh, praise be to Allah. Can you hear me, Akbar? Akbar, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Akbar, can you hear me?
Hello, Akbar.
Yeah, oh, praise be to Allah.
Hey man, how you doing, bro? What's going on, man? Yeah. Can't go. Okay. They want to get them.
You want two of them?
Yeah.
I make you a good deal. Oh,
first.
Okay. Oh, you mean the city?
Yeah,
the city. Is that New York City?
That's New York.
Yeah. Okay. What is that over there?
That's New York.
I see.
Can you shoot me up?
Assalamu alaikum.
What are you guys doing?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Yeah. Okay. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Yeah, but well, you got my card. I'll make you a good deal. Well, okay. Hold on one second. It's $40. I can tell you people about it. I gotta think something. Yeah, brother. Akbar, can you hear me? Okay, praise be to Allah. I thought about Allah out there at the graduation spot out there. Allah's the one who brought all that in. Muslims brought all that in. You know, the Western world didn't have these concepts of knowledge. You know, Allah brought that in. You know, knowledge, good knowledge. You know what I mean? So, praise be to Allah. So, you know, it was a good thing. Akbar, let me turn it back over to you for a minute. I got a client. Let me turn it back over, and I'll get back with you. I'm sorry. I'm dealing with a client.
Once
he's
gone, they're
gonna be
gone.
No, I'm in the business.
Yeah. Ain't nobody else on there, but him. Come on.
Is not available.
You didn't call me from there.
Call you from my phone.
It's got the 6:30 on here. It was blocked. But it was also, you must have been calling from 706.
I don't do nothing about my phone.
He is right here.
What? Why do you use that phone?
Well, you had to be on your line, didn't you?
I called you from this phone here. The only phone I got with me.
You called me from two phones, John.
No, I didn't. I ain't got.
This is what I'm saying. It's only here. How would I know it's only here?
Okay, I don't know how I got on that, cause I'm calling this the only phone I got with me today.
Maybe
what
you did
is. Yeah, I saw Rick Akbar.
Well, look out for
me. Yeah, praise you, Lord Akbar. Praise be to Allah, Allah Akbar. Yeah. You know, also, more and more. Okay, I'll talk to you later, brother. I'm here every day. More and more people is talking about justice. I don't know. I guess we so used to the Caucasian man, you know, beating up on us and stomping on us and not paying attention to us, then even when we got a case for reparation, we don't even take it. We laugh at it. They say, what's his name? The comedian, the Muslim comedian brother, he did a joke about giving the money to the African-American and the white man trick us into giving the money back, you know. What's his name? David Chappelle. He's supposed to be a Muslim. But we need to stop playing. Allah says, stand out for justice. Stand out for justice. We gotta demand, ask people for our justice. We need to get paid like the Jews got paid for the German mistreatment. You know what I mean? And the Japanese got paid. And the Indian tribes out here in California and Arizona and New Mexico, they say that the average yearly income for the Native Americans, they call them Indians, you know what I mean, they call them Indians, is $137,000 a year. A year. Mm. All right, brothers, have a good one. Y'all be safe. Y'all be safe. See, y'all be safe. Yeah. $137,000 a year. Happy Juneteenth. That's right. Thank you. You know, $137,000 a year. The Indians, they get in. But my daughter, my stepdaughter, because she lived in Arizona, and she worked at a clinic, and she said a lot of those Indian people, the Native American, they come in and they be all addicted to this and that, and alcoholics and stuff like that, because, you know, I guess they put that on the Indian, just like they put us with liquor stores. And they flooded us, our community, with crack cocaine. You know what I mean? And heroin. You know what I mean? That's how they did it, Native Americans. Because my daughter, Shannon, she's out here for the graduation. He said, those Indians, they be loaded and addicted and alcoholics and stuff, you know. But not all of them, you know. But the Caucasian, you know, and they call it white supremacy. You know, I said to myself, it ain't no white supremacy. I'm like Akbar, it ain't no white supremacy, Caucasian supremacy. Because Caucasian supremacy is in religion. Ain't no white supremacy. Ain't no white people. You know, it ain't no black people. You know, the Caucasian. Imam Muhammad told us, don't call them white.
Is that what you say?
They're Caucasian, you know. Yeah, but more and more people. More and more. See, because out here, if you look at it, if you Google California reparations, you know, they talking about $1.2 million and $5 million and stuff like that out here in California. You know, it used to be people who used to be going around, and what they would do is say that, you know, trace your roots, find your roots. And we was thinking, well, you know, find your roots in Africa. If we trace our roots to Nigeria, we trace our roots to Ghana on the west coast of Africa. But now that's very serious, because
you know, you want to trace your roots to the south where we was picking cotton and cane and tobacco and slaving. So we want to find our roots because look here, it looks like it's getting ready to jump off. It's getting ready to jump off, you know. And these people are going to have to pay us, man. For 400 years, got our people out here sleeping on the sidewalk and sleeping in the street and using the bathroom all outdoors and stuff like that. I get up 2 or 3 times a night, and I got to go urinate, you know, at my house. Just think, though, if you have to live on the street, what you going to do? What you going to do with your girls and the women? The girls and the women, you know, the time of the month. Oh, so we got to stand up for justice, you know, and we got to take care of our people. And quit letting people belittle. White man ain't going to get out. You know, look, Professor Darity, that's what I was telling y'all. Look up Darity on a TED Talk and on Google. He say in the year 2000, only 4% of the population was in favor of reparations. In the year 2000. Today, 2023, 30% of the Americans now are in favor of reparations. 30%. In 2000, just 23 years ago, it was only 4%. Now it's 30%. So it's growing. It's growing. And people have seen them people choking out Haitian murders, choking out our people. And like in, where, in Carolina, they tased this brother and said, now run, nigga. Tased him and then shot him in the back. Pow, 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 pow.
Yeah.
We all saw that. Yeah. That's the devil. We shot him. That's the devil, you know. So, you know, this is some of the reasons why the people, that people saw George Floyd talking about mama, you know, man choking the life out of him. You see. So that's the type of thing. And in Chicago, a little youngster was just walking along, and this cop told him to stop, and the brother, for some reason, I don't know if he was deaf or hard of hearing or something, he didn't stop, and the cop just, and shot him, and his little brother, he kind of stumbled and all, and he went down. Allah has brought in technology. Allah has brought in videos. At first, one of the first things was out here in California with that brother who they had on the chase. They chased him. He died, and his daughter kind of taken over, but I forgot his name. What did that brother call? King, was it King? Rodney King out here.
Rodney King, yeah.
Yeah, Rodney
yeah.
King. And they chased him, and then they stopped him, and then tried to beat the life out of him. But just so happened, Allah sent an angel across the street with a camera.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? That's right? Go ahead, brother.
Those memories. That is sad memories.
Yeah, go ahead,
Yes, it is right. He's still on me.
No, he ain't.
Yeah.
I mean, went off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You went off. I hear you now. You went off for a second.
Okay. Yeah. I was talking about Rodney King. They chased him in a car,
yeah,
you know, and they got him, and they tried to beat the life out of him with the batons, about five of them. But just so happened, Allah sent an angel across the street with a camera, and he took pictures, took video. Can you hear me, Arthur? Can you hear me?
I hear you. I seen it. He would not obey them. They were beating him like he was a dog. What's in the dark?
Like a dog. Yeah. But mm-hmm. Allah sent the angel. So Allah is sending this technology. And that's just what we want to introduce to our children. STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School. We want our children to know all them sciences that Allah put in the world for us, for the believer. You know, we want our children exposed to that. And also Allah wants us to stand up for justice, stand out for justice. Don't let people beat us and spit on us and curse us and do wrong and castrate us and rape our girls, rape our women for 300-400 years, and we don't do nothing. We don't stand, you know. Let's just start studying. We study it. And what's his name? Darity. Look at Google. Did y'all get a chance? If anybody got a chance, you know, let's talk about mm-hmm. it a little bit, if that's all right with you, Brother Akbar.
Yes,
you know, if people looked at it, look up Darity TED Talk, Darity, and see what he's talking about. I turn it back over to you, Brother Akbar. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you very much.
Well, they got the land. So we living in the month we saw Juneteenth. 44 so-called freed the last slave in Texas. Mm-hmm. Juneteenth, that's where it comes from, in Texas. They're celebrating in Texas and all over the country. Juneteenth. But we know, if you didn't know, I don't see where they free nobody in America. I don't see it. Show me what the people to do. Okay, sister.
Saran,
you got it.
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
Yeah, what I wanted to say is that, like when you be traveling and the police be coming behind you, you know, like you know that they behind you, you know, for whatever reason and you haven't did anything wrong. All you have to do, and they don't know this, but all you have to do, there's somebody, I don't know, could you hear me? Because I knew I hear some noise in the background. All you have to do is call the U.S. Marshal. Always have the U.S. Marshal number somewhere in your car. So, like, when the police be chasing you like that, and you know that something is wrong, call the U.S. Marshal. The U.S. Marshal is over that and over the highway. That's who you call. Alhamdulillah. That's all I wanted to say. Alhamdulillah.
That's all we got to say?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yeah, I just said I want you to know that you could call the U.S. Marshal, and the U.S. Marshal is over the police. The police on the highway, they over all of that. They take care of that.
And you think the U.S. Marshal gonna go against the police, or they gonna try to reason with them to leave you alone?
No. When you call the U.S. Marshal, the police is not gonna do. They're going to stop. That's what they're gonna do, because the U.S. Marshal is over them. They the one to have control of the highway. Right. Alhamdulillah. And you never hear when the police be beating them down, beating the brothers or people on the streets, you never hear them say the U.S. Marshal came on the scene. If they had called the U.S. Marshal, they will come. They will take care of that. Because that's what we do. Like when anything happens, like we're driving, anything happens, call the U.S. Marshal. You can call it even if you're in your own car also.
And when you alert the U.S. Marshal, then the U.S. Marshal, by you alerting them, that means that you have your call out for somebody who's going to treat you right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. They're going to, yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm did it. Well, I know we're living in the time of Juneteenth. It should mean something to every one of us. We can't get past that. When we disconnect from our people, of the people who've been put in the situation we're in, we get insensitive. See, we got to realize in paradise, Prophet Muhammad already told us, he found Muslims, Jews, and Christians, and others. Allah is in charge. Allah know who deserves to be in the paradise, and he will make a charge. And he by your intention. What was your intention on this earth? Call us 7880, last 4 digits, you, Aishalah.
Alhamdulillah. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. We're going to be, inshallah, we're going to be traveling tomorrow. So are you saying that if the police get behind our car, are we to pull over or keep driving and continue to call the sheriff?
Well, what I'll do, I'll make sure that, like, and he be, see, what you do is when they be behind you, you just drive at your normal speed. Then you could call the U.S. Marshal, because what they're going to do is when you drive at your normal speed, they just going to come on, like, on the side of you and tell you to get over. That's what they're going to do. But when you see them behind you, automatically, yeah, you can just start calling the U.S. Marshal, especially if you haven't did anything wrong. Mm-hmm. And then you like in the remote area too, you know. You call the U.S. Marshal, yeah.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Thank you, sir. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I just have also. I'm looking at a USA Today's paper, and on the headline says police misconduct case in Connecticut is settled for a U.S. payout. $45 million for paralyzed man surpasses Floyd case. And it says the man was in the police car, handcuffed. Wait a minute, let me see where I see this at. He was in the police car, handcuffed, and then the police, this is in Connecticut, and then the police was in an accident, and the man was in the accident as well. But because he didn't have seatbelts on and he was handcuffed, it wasn't nothing he can do. So he ended up being paralyzed from the neck down. And his family sued for $45 million in Connecticut. This was last year. And let me see. The young man is 20. His name is Randy Cox. This happened nearly a year ago. And I'm trying to look to see. Where is his age? Okay, I probably should have read it before I start telling you. Okay, he's 37 years old. He lives now dependent in need of assistance at all times. He can't do nothing for himself. Lord, have mercy.
Yep.
Yeah, see, George Floyd was sued them for $27 million. This one here, he got $45 million.
But see, the thing about it that the good time, the good life that he should be enjoying, he cannot.
Yeah, that's right.
He just like a vegetable.
Yes, that's right.
He can hear, see, hear, but that's about it. He can't move. We can't make somebody move him, take him where he wants to. So yeah, it's a shame. But this is the lives that we live under. We free.
The only thing
we free to do is go to a store, walk down the street, spend our money. But when they're talking about freedom to own and operate, tell the people that we work in the city,
to fix the streets and stuff. We ain't free to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't free to do that. You know,
right.
My daughter my sister, I was talking to her, and she said they're going to cut these people off way up there because they able to work.
They're going to try.
Yeah, you know, work. And a lot of people say, oh, that's good. But when those people try to get a job, they tell them they don't have none. They don't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's two sides to a coin, and this is
mm-hmm.
what's going on in America. Their job
mm-hmm.
is to let you look bad, make you look bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Juneteenth. It's a good meaning, but as long as that image up in the world, Juneteenth will never get a chance to do anything. It'll stay just like it is, and it'll keep going around doing the same thing over and over again. As long as that
mm-hmm.
image up. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That holding people up as white people. There's some of them still doing it. Come on. I ask those who still doing it, show me a white person. And show me a black person. I'm talking about black as the tires on the cars that we see out here every day. Show me a black. Show me somebody black as tall. So we've been calling people names.
Yes.
And they've been calling us names that we don't have. So we got to, this mess got to be straightened out. And the root of the problem is in that false image of God, holding God
yes.
up as a man.
That's right.
Huh?
That's
and
right.
And who you think
that's right.
we've been given this knowledge to correct this problem? We have. Because now
mm-hmm.
they're not going at you no more. They're going at your children. They're going at your next generation.
That's right.
To be homosexual, to be a priest
mm-hmm.
with make sure all of them got long eyebrows. Make sure all of them got tattoos. And most of our people getting tattooed, they follow all the bad things all over this
yeah.
country the same way.
That's
pants
right.
hanging down, talking nice,
that's
talking
right.
mean, talking dirty, want to kill each other for nothing. Coming from the music and everything, the basic problem is coming from church. Because church supposed to lift people up, but it ain't doing nothing but keeping them in the filth, keeping them enjoying filth by telling that Jesus done died for their sin. So no sin they could do going to be punished for. See, this come from the church. This come from the liars that put this
mm-hmm.
lie in the church. They were told there was life after death like we told, and you're going to meet the one who gave you this life, and you better not die, let you die in the state or submit your will to do the will of God. We can help you.
Mm.
A lot of people will save themselves. But a lot of people ain't going to save themselves because they think Jesus died for their sin and they're going to get the
how
best world. They die. You got to earn what the book says. You
oh, yeah.
what you sow. You got to earn.
That's right.
Whatever you got to earn.
That's right. That's
I'll
right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it got some lamb.
Yeah, I just want to add on something that you had said, Brother Akbar, about the jobs when they tell you to get off the welfare and get a job. Now, they see what they failed, what we don't know is that what a lot of them don't know is that they have a program out there. They have a program out there that they call on-the-job training that our taxes still pay for. Now, they're using that money given to somebody else just so those other people that for our on-the-job training. So because when the sisters get off the welfare, they give them on-the-job training. They train them on the job, and they pay them while they be going. That program still got out there. That money is still for us. And then when
mm-hmm.
our children goes to, like, especially the ones that the young children, you know, like when they be going into the jailhouse, and when they come out, they have to come out and to either have a job or either go into a training too so they could be able to go into society. Also, our taxes still pay for that. They still have that program for that. But what it is that, and then you remember the time they had the program in the school about the cooking and then the brothers, they was teaching them mechanics and also how to build because they thought that they was training them to work for them. But they didn't know that not only they was working for them, but also they was able to, you know, learn and build themselves, you know, because we built, like, the houses that we got in our community, all those houses was built by African-American brothers, you know. Mm. They're the ones that built those houses in the community. And so we have that program out there. Our taxes is paying for it. So, but we don't know about it, and so that's why we're our children, like, when they don't supposed to put them out on the way out there without a job, without a job training. They don't supposed to do that. And then they pay, and then they supposed to pay for the babysitting and all that kind of stuff like that. But since we don't know about it, since they don't know about it, you know, then that's why they treat them like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might have a point there.
Mm-hmm. And so it's our tax money. Just like when Amin was saying that the lady was out there, the congressman, some political speaker, she was out there talking about this and talking about that. I said, you bought with the convicts, you know, and all that. So I told him, I said, well, ask her about the on-the-job training. And I want to do, I mean, ever asked the lady when she was out there teaching, what about the on-the-job training for our children? That's what they're supposed to give them. They're supposed to give them that on-the-job training. Our tax money paid for it, and that program still is still there.
That's right. So what they do, they're going to train them to work that job, and then they're going to take them off the public assistance, or they're going to take them off first and then train them?
Well, I mentioned because when I was on, they basically, you know, they'll take you off, and then they'll start. They'll take you off once you start getting on the job, you know, and then that you'll stay on it for that month, and then when you get that training, and when they start paying you, when you get that training, then they takes you off. Yes, once you get that training, finish that training, then they takes you off.
Mm. Can I ask a question? That training, is it for the young people or the people that are on assistance? People that's receiving assistance, or is it for the young people training to get a job or something like that? But is it for them also?
They have two kinds. Yeah, they have the one for the for those that's on welfare. They have the ones that when they come out of the jail house, mm-hmm. prison or jailhouse, and then they have one like for like you just don't have a job and you need to get some training, and then mm-hmm. you don't get on the welfare though. That's what, you know, you don't get on the welfare, but you go through the training and they'll pay you while you're going.
That sounds like a good place, but I haven't seen nothing like that.
I was in the program mm-hmm. myself, and plus mm-hmm. they never stopped it. I was in the program myself, and also I knew somebody that was in prison, and they came out and they had to get into the program also. They're not doing it because. Like you say, they taking your tax money, and they got three different races of people, groups, and millions that's over here. What are they gonna do with them? Mm-hmm. Who gonna take care of them? You know, who tax money gonna take care of that?
Well, we got Brother Muhammad from Georgia, and we know he got a viewpoint on that. Let's hear what he has to say. Don't nobody go nowhere. You can ask him some questions because he's going to bring some solution, I hope. Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Unmute and come on.
Okay, thank Brother you very much. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir. We Bismillah, man, Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we thank Allah for permitting all of us to be on this cube to deliver this message of concern. And I guess, as we all know, the number one message of concern is why do the human being cling so heavily to this world when the law has given us what we have been praying for, and that is freedom and justice and equality if we establish a halal reality for those who wants it, deserve it, and anybody else can get it. Mostly everything I got, I come in kind of late on what y'all are talking about, but most everything that we hear, those, like Sister said, those programs ain't gone nowhere. Most people can go to the Goodwill, and especially Goodwill. Goodwill's almost in the mm-hmm. forefront of training people, older, senior citizens,
right.
all the way down, whatever you want, pay while you're doing it, make sure you get your food stamps, et cetera, if you want. But the
mm-hmm.
key here is that we keep forgetting that, and there's not a bunch. We're only talking about a small amount of people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember that when you look at the 300-something million people in America, when you're talking about what 1,000 of them or 2,000 of them is doing, that's a drop in the bucket compared to the population. You know, it ain't doing nobody no good if 2,000 people are free and the rest are enslaved, you know. And you can't go nowhere because of your intellect and your definition about life that makes you think that you can't go nowhere. And that's the scheme of the Shaitan, the guy. He got us under his influence, even though we think we ain't. We think just because, like Allah tells you, said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, that you ain't going to be tested. You think that you done broke away, and now you want to exert your freedom that you don't have. You know, and we agree to that. We all say that we ain't free the way that Allah has showed us and gave us the definition of what freedom is. And it's not going to never change until we change that situation. Just like a day I wanted to share with y'all, just we might as well get ready for it. Last night here in Columbus, Georgia, some of the well-to-do, whatever y'all want to call our ethnic group, I use that terminology. You know, they put on I think it was on Bounce. If a lot of y'all remember, it was on Bounce on the. I don't know too much about TV, but I know that program called Bounce and Channel 9 News here in Columbus, Georgia. They had all of our people out there. They supposed to be talking about black women this and how we are so beautiful, and they call themselves doing things to bring dignity to ourselves. And they had a fashion show last night. It's unbelievable. They had them sisters coming out there with hot pants on. I'm talking about well-respected people in the community. And the program, at least, well, probably was 100% of the people involved are people who go to church. People in the church. But they done got that grant money. They done got some other support. And believe it or not, you can tell Shaitan is using them as puppets to get between us and doing our job of being a model example for all the world to follow. And he said he's using them as bait, you know, to let the world think that, again, you know, I know y'all can identify this way. Y'all know how the world always trying to put the immigrant Muslim out there as the one who represents al-Islam. What they're doing now is they're getting ready to start putting our people out there is representing blacks in America or African Americans in America. And they're going to be stressing, you don't need al-Islam. But them girls, they had them all coming out, dressing all kinds of ways. I mean, just and half naked and everything like it for our children to learn from, because it's supposed to be a black beauty fashion show, something like that. And then the brothers was out there styling the hip-hop fashion. Oh, they was wearing the pants off below the butt, turned to the side, name brand shirts and everything, and showing you. And they called herself being a model for our children in the future. It's okay to be black. It's okay to be African American. It's okay to be a nigger. Look at us. We're doing great. And this is some of the language they were using. If some of y'all want to go on, I don't know how to do it, but you go on online or whatever you do, and you can catch that program, the Black Fashion Show, and see how arrogant our brothers and sisters of the Christian faith, who out there making sure that the ex-African slave in America who have embraced al-Islam, you don't get in charge like they've been doing. Otherwise, I guess you would call them modern-day house niggers. Not house Negroes, but house diggers. That's what they are, what they're doing. And many of them don't know it. It's that they haven't seen the example, and they're tired of hearing us telling them about what Allah say, what the Quran say, what this say, how this is the right way, and they don't, and we have done nothing for their freedom, justice and equality. You know, and they begin to to listen to the shaitan again. I mean, real deep. But I was really surprised. I'll stay up on things as much as I probably can. But when that fashion show they had on last night was unbelievable. And they had some, I guess you would call them celebrities here in this town here, was involved. You know, walking across the stage and all that down there last night. And one of the first four or five sisters that came out were wearing a hot pants. And by the fact that they had a shirt on that was just below their pelvic area, it was like they was naked. Oh, you didn't see the shorts unless they made a turn or something, then you realize they had shorts on. So I'm saying, if we don't do what we got to do, ain't none of them going to help us. Y'all keep forgetting when we was in that state of mind. Y'all keep forgetting that when we were in transition of deciding whether or not to accept Allah's mercy and guidance, that we fought hard. Even though we would say, yeah, I understand what the Muslims are talking about, man. No, you know, blah, blah, blah. But they would, you tick one of them off, they'd tell you, man, I ain't interested in that Islam stuff you talking about, nigga. They ain't changed. They're not going to change. Ain't nobody going to change until we change. And they ain't going to change unless it's by Allah's permission. And just like we said right now, this chasing this dollar, it don't take no 48 million people. And all of them every day getting up ain't got nothing in their mind but chasing a dollar, and we still the poorest people in the country. So Satan got us thinking. We got money. I think in 1990 or before, or just at the end of the 80s, the African American in the United States was considered to be one of the 14th richest small countries in the world if we came together. But what are we doing? We've been distracted. Our minds are being shattered because we are doing like, and I'll give you another example. Now here, can you imagine back in the time when Prophet Isa and Allah introduced Prophet Isa to the world and everybody had to accept that he was a miracle? They couldn't find no proof. They tried to find somebody to say that he came into the world by the agent of a human man. And they can't find no proof of it. So they didn't have no choice but to accept it. Those who believe and those who didn't believe, they had to accept it because that's something that the human being can't shake off. Now, this miracle in the birth of Prophet Isa told them about another miracle to come. Talking of the Quran. Talking of Prophet Muhammad, the example of that Quran. And like he was an example of the Bible or the revelation that they received, but they had corrupted it. He was showing them that how powerful Allah was by letting them know, y'all know how I got here. I'm here by the word of the Creator. He said, be and I'm here. And then to make sure that you don't try to get all spooked up, he sent me through a female. Now, how y'all going to explain? And they can't. How can we explain we are following the Quran? We are following the life example from Muhammad, and we got a way of life that's better than any way of life that the human being has ever been introduced to and have watched it grow from Adam to our time. And a law that is called al-Islam. And the people who do that are people who have been praying And Allah answered their prayers because they said, if you bless me, I will take my will and do your will. No doubt about it. Allah gave us that opportunity. And now we're holding on to the rope of Allah. Taking our will in and out of the will of Allah because we think we know something. And it's causing so much devastation to us in the world. And Shaitan continues to produce his imps, people who impersonate, fly what he is about in the world and make you slowly but surely accept it. Every time we want to do something, we have to run to the world for leadership, for food, shelter, clothing, transportation. What happened to the inventors? What happened to the people who followed the inspiration of Allah, like George Washington Carver, Booker T. Washington? What happened to their lineage? What happened to their family members that Allah blessed them with, who didn't follow in their suit, but rejected most of them, the guidance? And the miracles they experienced that their father, knowing he didn't have no educating them, but he learned the inner workings of the nature of the peanut and produced so many products, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Don't we see that Shaitan, we think that we are doing dawah on him, but the people who represent Shaitan is really doing dawah on us. And we will admit to that. Every time you set up a little thought of this world here, dominate plans to serve Allah and Allah alone and follow in the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad, but because we are lazy and full of artificial fear that we, you know how we do, if a brother says something to him, or you bust him in the mouth, fight him to the death. Let any kind of man, don't have to be no white man, let any kind of other man walk in front of us, we go to fire, figure out how to compromise and get along with him. Let him take our women, take our children like they're doing now. Children ain't going astray. The world of this satanic society that we live in is taking them. They ain't got no choice. They ain't got no refuge over long. And what I mean by they don't, I'm talking to few. Because remember again, there's 300-something million people in America. Just because there might be, if it be 200 million, I mean not 200 million, if it be 2 million Muslims who are enjoying the Quran, enjoying the life of Prophet Muhammad, that's a small amount of people compared to the people who are still slaves of the Shaitan, who we supposed to be setting free. If we can stay in our moral position long enough for them to get the inspiration that Allah will send them, especially when we tell them about prayer, especially when we tell them about fasting, especially when we tell them about what halal food is, how they're eating this and how they're polluting this, what we're doing, but we're not showing them how to take control of the earth. Again, remember, we have almost 3 million acres of land owned by Muslims in America of African descent. Are we really trying to meet them and find out who they are? Because these are Muslims now. These are not black people who call themselves black or people who call themselves. These are Muslims. Like Imam Dawood down the road from here. Like Brother Abdullah on the land there down in Pittsburgh, Alabama. Like Brother Siraj, who right now is developing 1,300 acres of land. Plus, he already had about 50 acres. Plus, the brothers in down in Augusta area, Sandersville, etc. Sister down there got 90 acres of land. Muslim. And we're ignoring them. We still use our Negro and black and African-American mentality that makes us not love each other. So we don't pay them no attention. We keep emulating, duplicating the imps of the Shaitan because we think this world is the only world that we're really going to see. And in our deepest sleep, we believe that. We believe that that yeah, Allah's God and all that like that, but we, our deeds and actions tell the world that we don't have faith that it will happen. We done wrote it off. We have Muslims right here in America who's planning on being here 50 years. The way things are right now, and be satisfied with maybe a 15% increase in freedom, justice, and equality for 50 years. Do you know what's going to happen to all our children in 50 years if we don't change things? If we don't change our own self? They've been watching us. I gave an example of that today. I came into this guidance from Allah through my prayers of a 13-year-old kid. By the time it got to 1970, when the man made a 1967, we'd already listened to the imam. From 59 to 1967, I already knew who Imam W. Muhammad, you know, who he's in the Nation of Islam. You know, we was in the Nation of Islam. Allah was bringing him to light then. So if we're going to do and talk like we're going to talk, especially those of us in our peers, I'm not going to say, if you're 60 years old or better, you know better. And if we got children 50 years old and down, they've been watching every deliberate lie we told, and they have been watching us be cowards. They have watched us dream about being a Muslim. Dream about owning our own land, having our own society right here in America, which we are allowed to have to do. Because just like Sister Carr said, we've been paying taxes. We have a right. They ain't going to stop us if we bring it to their attention. Some of them will. But again, well, that's a small percentage. Our white people were stupid enough to go get a gun and try to stop us from getting our rights here in America that we're paying for. And now that Allah is making it clear that these days are getting short, even white people are beginning to find out and say, I wish these Muslims do what they're supposed to do. Look at them hollering. Right here in America, the president of the United States, where are the Muslims at? Come talk with me. Come share with me. Hey. Bunch of them. Starting with Obama, starting before Obama. You think Jimmy Carter didn't know about the Quran? If Thomas Jefferson, back in the 17th and 1800 centuries, they had the Quran, what think you think these whites are really dumb? In the leadership of America. These people have been reading Muhammad. The Quran. Yes, sir. And why are you interrupting Muhammad. Me? Is it time for me to get off?
No.
What I'm saying right now is factual. This ain't no conversation.
No. Oh, okay.
They've been having the Quran.
No, I just.
Yeah, they've been having the Quran. The leadership of the United States of America, the president, House, the Senate, the House of Representatives, mayors, and quite a few governors have been reading the Quran since the early 1600s right here in America. Been doing business with Muslims before they even came here to America. But ever since they've been here in America, they've been doing business with Muslims. If we're going to put it in this right context, yeah, we are a new people. Because we are that innocent right now. And we have the opportunity to choose right over wrong almost every time if we want to. But we still letting the model example that doing wrong is okay, being a homosexual is okay, committing murder for the money is okay, crossing your brother out is okay, and it's wearing us down because we're human. We ain't God or gods or whatever we're going to call it. Everything that Shaitan get away with every day mystical to get the human being to go against Al-Islam, whether we believe that or not. Christianity ain't stopping them from doing anything they want to do. The Jewish, the Torah ain't stopping them. The Torah, the Jews ain't stopping anybody from doing what they want to do, especially if they're going to get some money out of it. And they got us thinking and doing that way. We want to enslave people we can get away with. In closing, when I was reading on the Black Wall Street stuff and everything like that, because I said, well, we so inspired, look, more and more. But I've been knowing about Black Wall Street because I used to go to Oklahoma all the time. The masjid out there in Oklahoma City, you come from, they are fully aware of the history that y'all talking about. They have no idea to talk about. Many of us don't. And some of the females of African descent had slaves. They had more slaves than black men. Very few black men. There still was a few, but there still was black men who had a few slaves. But our sisters of what they call us in this color scheme, they had slaves. Brothels. They own most of everything that we're talking about. See, we got to understand when we talk about history, like Ibn Muhammad said, you got to look below the surface. And I will say this, then I close out. Ibn Muhammad played a tape the other day ago. And he made it so clear in a tape that he done in 97. Where he was explaining, he said, this is, y'all keep on letting these people think and dictate to you how to live your Islamic life. Keep on. Y'all think that y'all can't do anything that you have been given permission by Allah to do with no doubt about it. And you unknowingly or knowingly or go around the corner, you want to give the white man to permit you to pray five times a day. You want to get the white man to tell you how to dress. You want to get the white man to tell you, can you grow some halal food? When all we have to do is just do it. We got the best protector in the world. We got the creator. That's why we say with Allah's permission, we do whatever we want to do. We are the best of creation. When we start acting like that, we're going to see fantastic. And I'm sorry I didn't go about what I just want to say. Remember now, Imam Muhammad came on the scene. The first thing he was teaching us was universal Islam. Not World Community of Al-Islam. Not American Muslim Mission. Those are things that he was trying to reach us with and see where in the hell our minds were. But he came and told us that Allah is God, and we are coming, bringing to us a universal way of life called Al-Islam. Just want to say that. Thank you much as always. As-salamu alaykum.
And Imam, about color they don't have. No white. We ain't black people. We're human beings. What Allah said.
Yes,
Imam. W.D. Muhammad said. So we here to. And we ain't gonna never give up not trying to clear up, no matter what somebody else does. Allah is in charge. We believe that Allah will intervene in anything that we need to be in and set our feet on the right direction. We're gonna get what Allah promised us that he gonna get to believe. We're gonna get those things. And we thank Allah for Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, who prayed for Majedic, and Imam Warati Muhammad fit the mold of the Jedic. He brought the religion here. He brought it to a people who had no love for information and knowledge. And he was able to show people like and hold the freedom of his father. So we thank Allah. We bring Brother back up. Assalamu alaikum. Go ahead, Sister Quran.
Somebody else was saying assalamu alaikum, but I was saying assalamu alaikum back.
But I do want to say when the brother said the Mujeti, you got to remember the Mujeti, the Mujeti revised the religion. The man word, the Muhammad, the religion was already revised at a standard. What he did, he didn't, like you say, he brought it to us. But the reviving and bringing the religion to us is a different thing. But the Imam said that he's not anyway. So, you know, but then I said to myself, I said, when he had said that he wasn't, I said the same thing. Well, he's my Mujeti, but what it is that it must be more, it got to be more too than just reviving also, you know. But the religion was already revised. It's just that we didn't, you know, we were just trapped in that Christianity between that, you know. Alhamdulillah.
Imam came to revive the religion. He said, it says El Islam. He revised all the religions, all of them. He spoke on and made a claim where all religions should be represented. So he revived the religion. They were saying Islam, not Islam. It's El Islam.
I just want to say one thing, Brother Akbar. Well, you got to remember, the Imam said that he wasn't, and then also the brother Rasul had a tape, and the Imam said Mujeti is coming. That means that if he's saying a Mujeti is coming, that means that he's not the Mujeti, because he said a Mujeti is coming. That's what he said. He said that, and then he told, then because he even asked me, he said, "Who am I?" I said, "The Mujeti." And then he said, "No, I'm not." And I said to myself, "Well, you my Mujeti." And I even knew what a Mujeti was, but I just knew it was something good.
That's right.
At the time, I didn't.
Well, again, if you get tomorrow, you can ask Imam Rasul. Could he ask Mosqueers to play it again where Imam Muhammad said that he was the Mujeti on the CD that he played? So that's something that we have to research, or anything that you have a doubt about, you should pursue it on your own. Not you, I'm talking about anybody. When you have doubt about anything, because a lot of challenges are that. He tells us that in Surah Al-Baqarah. In this book, there's no doubt. So anyone who represents this way of life, if you have doubt about what they're saying, Allah has made it possible. Especially in these days and time now, you can go online, you could go to the prayer information on the internet, and ask them for, so you can find all the Imam Muhammad's CDs. You know, all you have to do is ask which one of them is the CD where Imam Muhammad says that he is the Mujahideen. And I'm pretty sure that Mosque Cares, if they want to, and they see some benefit in it, I heard Imam say that on one of the CDs that was played on Lifeline. You know, just about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
No, that he said
4 or 5 weeks ago
on
Saturday morning. Yeah, 4 or 5 weeks ago on Saturday morning, they played the CD where Imam Muhammad explained. He said, "Yeah, I'm the Mujahideen," but that, what does that mean to y'all? And he went on and broke down some other titles that he had. He spoke on how when everybody was trying to make him the spokesperson for human salvation. And like Akbar said, every religion in our day and time, Imam Muhammad gave the best example of what a Christian is, what a Jew is. He done told people what the Bible is. He done told people what the Torah is. No religion. He done told the drug addict what his problem is. He done told the alcoholic what his problem is. Allah has blessed Imam Muhammad to take that Quran and explain anything that anybody asks him, so that they will have no doubt that he's a Muslim, that he's a servant of Allah, that he's a believer, the one that is responsible, the slave in America, the ex-slave in America. Because we're still letting ourselves be whooped, put on an auction block, Are women still getting raped? Are children still being sold into seduction? Sold on the idea that they homosexual? Sold on the idea that they can steal, that they can rob, they can lie to their parents? See, we not paying attention because the faith does not enter our heart enough to where our children and our grandchildren have no doubt about what we're telling them when we tell them there ain't but one God and Muhammad is the messenger. That's what we got to get around and be firm in, teaching this religion out of not. The bottom line, we're supposed to be here to exemplify and model the final revelation to all of humanity so that they will have no doubt where they're going at or what probably might going to happen to them on the day when Allah judges all.
That's right.
Well, y'all can say what you want to say. I didn't know your ma'am said he wasn't. And then I just saw it on YouTube, watching YouTube again, and did one that he said that, that was the people of the book, my apology. But I even said it myself, I'm telling you, he said that he wasn't. And that was 45 days before he passed. Now, and then you got to remember, the Mujeti is for all the people. It ain't just for no one group of people. But when you come, the Mujeti comes for it all, not just one. Let me finish, brother Muhammad. I said, so you got to be sure. And then when you
said
that, then you should bring that. You should present that tape. You should present that tape.
Wait a minute now. First of all, remember now, Brother Muhammad ain't said anything.
No, Brother Muhammad, look, all when you
I'm
talk.
Not,
Let me finish. I'm not, I'm talking to all of you, but you're the one that's telling the lie.
now you will call me a lie.
That's not from your heart. That's from my heart. The ma'am asked me, who am I? And I said, I'm just. And he said, no, I am not.
Question you on that.
Okay, then. I'm saying.
Why can't you tell Akbar he's a lie? He just told you the same thing.
That's who I was talking to. I was talking to Akbar. You the one that came in. I was talking to Brother Akbar.
No.
You the one that
all
came
right,
because
no
he's
problem.
The one that was saying. He was saying something about the Mujeti before you did. But anyway, all you have to do is, could you present that tape too, please? And then make sure it's the one that he said during that time, because I know I've been to Photoshop and I know people can make voices changes and everything. So could you bring that tape, please, and see what day it was and all that?
Let me put it this way.
Because you need to be known for our children.
Do you think that I would bring anybody something who called me a lie, that I would try to prove something to them?
Well, you supposed
that
to.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
See, I don't think so. See, I'm just listen to that again. Do you really think that I would go and try to, someone who called me a lie from their heart, they said, in my heart, you a liar. Do you think
you
I
lying.
Really would do that?
So you don't know what? Wrong. You
well,
don't
I,
know. I'm going to take that back. You know, you're right. A lie is a very... Very serious
you
thing.
Have,
lying is a very
right
serious. That you know what? You're right. You're right. Lying is very serious. Lying is serious. I'm going to take that back, Brother Muhammad. You know what, Brother Muhammad? I'm going to take
that
back. That is a lie, but I'm going to tell you that's not true. I'm going to say it like that. That's not true.
That's
not true. I'm going to take that back. My apology. My apology.
I love you like that. Oh, No problem.
I don't know how you feel about me.
I
have
the right to be free.
You're my brother.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. I'm sorry for breaking into your talk, Brother Muhammad, a little while, but I was kind of... I got a call right when the show was for Brother Ibn Muhammad, Muhammad, And he just had to tell me, he walked in right next to the masjid here in L.A., right next to Bilal Ibn Rabah. They got they have a kind of like an incense shop. It's called Taj Mahal. And in the, also, too, they got some African taters, brothers of African taters. So Poppy just stopped and he called me. He said, "Brother, I walked into the tailor shop. These African brothers said, 'Brother, where you been?' He said, 'The masjid is all falling down.'" You know what I mean? And the little African brother was just complaining. You know what I mean? Because the masjid, still, the phone is not on. You know, still, the water is not on. The heat is not on. You know, ain't nothing been fixed. They, you know, this is Bilal Ibn Rabah at 5450 Crenshaw Boulevard. Crenshaw, 5450. And Hoppy just had to tell me that. And so I was, you know, and yeah, because the African brother said, "Man, where you been?" You know, he said, "We need a strong imam, brother imam. Come on, where you been?" So because Hoppy was, he just transferred to another job closer in. You know, he had to drive like 300 miles on weekends going up to that prison up north. But now he's only about 50, 60 miles away. So I just wanted to say that because them people over there, we need to file on them people. We need to file, you know, because we need to move this thing on, you know. So I just want to say that. And then I wanted to ask Brother Muhammad this, Brother Muhammad from Columbus, what do you feel about reparations? Tell me what you think. Can you share some information about reparations? Because I'm gonna throw my hat in the ring and get out there for reparations myself. So I just wanted to know what you think about it, Muhammad from Columbus. Muhammad from Columbus, you still there? No?
Unmute, Brother Muhammad. Still there?
Sister Karan, what do you think about reparations?
I think it's good.
We're supposed to get paid. I mean, that's what we're supposed to. So I think I want my money.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
thank
right.
You so much.
So you think right, you think we'll get the money individually or we'll get it as a group?
Let me.
Because I believe that's what they did with the Chinese. They gave it as a group.
The Germans paid the Jews, and I think they're still paying some of the Jews, and then the Japanese got something out here in California. But I read somewhere where the Indians out here, the Native Americans out here, the average income for the Indian is $138,000 a year. $138,000 a year. These people, these Native Americans, in the Western United States, California, New Mexico, Colorado, places like that. The average is I'm gonna get that statistic. I read it somewhere. Yeah, they get paid.
I think we should get paid because of all the things that we have built and discovered and our people did and our ancestors. I think we should get paid for that, yes. And all that free labor, if it wasn't for, like you said, that free labor, they wouldn't be in the position they're in right now. If it wasn't for the thing that we discovered, you know, we wouldn't be in the position right now. Yes, I think we should we should. Everybody else got theirs, and we're supposed to get ours, too.
Now, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked the white, so-called white man to give five states, right? What, Mississippi, Alabama? I forgot the states, but five states. And he says, and the government should give so much help to the freed slaves that was loyal to the white so-called white man for so many. Honorable Elijah Muhammad, right? Remember that, right? You know? So, alhamdulillah. So, I want to just share this. Dr. Darity, if you go to YouTube, please write this down. Go to YouTube and look up Dr. Darity. You spell Darity, D-A-R-T-Y. D-A-R-I-T-Y. TED Talk, T-E-D Talk, T-E-D, Dr. Darity, TED Talk, and look at that, and look, and listen to him. He just got a book out over about a year ago. He and his wife wrote this book called From Here to Equality, Reparations for Black Americans in the 21st Century. It's great. I would say this is the Bible of reparations here, the Bible of reparations. So I leave it right there. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you. I'll turn it back over to you, Brother Akbar.
I wanted to ask a question. I'm sorry. Assalamu alaikum, Haji Lala. I'd like to, someone to answer this for me. There's a brother who he's not an imam, but he does kutbas, and he continues to bring a particular sister to the masjid, and she's always in the wrong attire, and she wants to get up and make prayer. She has her arms out and her and nothing on her head. So isn't that whose responsibility is that to tell her that she has to put something on her head and have her arms covered? The sisters or the brother she came with? Claimed he's the friend.
The sister's supposed to, and then sometime at the masjid, we should have something to like when sisters comes in like that. We used to have things at the masjid, you know, like that they could cover them, have something that could cover them when they come like that and give them a scarf to cover their head. Yeah, the sister's supposed to take care of that.
Oh, okay.
That, you should mention to her next time, at least try to cover up a little better than what she covered up the first time. You should mention that to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. I had asked her if she would, you know, fall back a few minutes, you know, let me just give her a few words. And as I'm talking to her and I'm telling her, you know, that you, when you're going to make prayer, and if you know you're going to make prayer, you have to have your head covered. And I say, and obviously you keep coming here with your, you know, your unnatural hair, because it's not a hair that's on a head. I said, with your unnatural hair, I said, but you have to cover that before you make prayer. I said, now, if you're not going to make prayer, then fine, you could just sit back and observe. I said, but as long as you stand up here and to make prayer, you're going to need to cover your head. So she said, oh, I didn't know that. I said, well, who did you come here with? So then when she pointed to him, he's giving the cook bar. So I said, okay, sister. I said, well, me being a sister, to another sister, I said, I want you to listen up. You know, these things that you have on is inappropriate. I say, and if you came with that particular brother, you ask him the next time he asks you to come with him to Juma to buy you an outfit. Because what you have on is not appropriate. And so she giggled, and I said, and you know, if you're just a friend, then it's okay that you, you know, come with the brother. I said, but if the brother has any intention of getting in, y'all just excuse my language, getting in your bed, I said, you let him know that's a wrong. He's not to get in your bed because he's not your husband. You're not his wife. We don't do boyfriend and girlfriend in this religion. What's that?
Did all you can do, sister. Now it's up to them.
So, would you close us out? We'll get a couple poems and close us out in prayer, please.
Okay. Hold on a minute. Let me see what I got. Let me see what I have here. Okay, I have a little bit of Minister Tony Rajin. God is saying to you today, I know you are physically and emotionally drained, but you have to keep on going. I see you through. Amen. 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 And I have another one here says, once you carry your own water, you will know the value of every drop. I mean. Okay, and I'll do one more, then I'll close us up. Okay, let's see. Come on. So many of them. Okay. Ya Allah, dua for today. Ya Allah, grant a good end to all our affairs and save us from humiliation of the world and the torment of the hereafter. Accept our prayers. Make what is coming better than what has passed. Amen. Lord of Allah, Shaitan Rajim, Bismillah, Rahman Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen, Rahman Rahim, Nalaki Yomadim, Iyak, and Abdullah Wahiyak, and Asain, Ibina Sassarat Mustakim, Suratul Azin, and Anta Alehim, Rain Magdubi Alehim, Waladoli. Amen. Amen. Remember Allah, Allah, remember you.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Mr. Kapong will be here tomorrow, God willing, nothing happens. So listen out. Thank you, Sister Haya Lala, all the believers that came home tonight. May I bless us all. We are with you, inshallah.
Amen. Amen. Wa alaikum salam.